Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Last practice day of the week for your Washington Commanders. Tomorrow afternoon, they will fly out to the D, Detroit Rock City, in advance of Saturday night's divisional round playoff game. This is the real deal, folks. You practice when it's hot to play when it's cold. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I'm good, brother. It's cold out there.
It's yesterday. Today doesn't feel as bad as yesterday.
I don't know.
You think so?
I had on a bigger coat.
Let's go to the phone.
I had on a bigger coat. I felt better.
You did well, and you had your hat. Like you seem more equipped today. Mm-hmm. Yesterday you forgot
yesterday
your gloves. All right. Yesterday the feels like was 15, wasn't
yeah.
it? All right. Right now in Ashburn, it's currently 22 degrees. Emmett Smith degrees. Feels like dun, 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 dun. Damn.
What?
12. Worst number I can say.
I'll tell you.
It's cold, dude.
Hey, man.
Are you at all concerned that it's supposed to snow Sunday when we're supposed to fly home?
No. They should be able to handle it.
We saw how well it all went in Dallas.
Hey, I'm leaving early. So I hope by the time the snow comes, I'm already here. What time is all supposed to start?
I do think it's supposed to be afternoon.
Okay, well, I'll be home.
I asked Cameron yesterday.
What time you leave?
I asked Doug yesterday. I'm on a flight out of Detroit at 10, supposed to land at Dallas
you
around 11:30. He said I should be good. He said that's about when it's going to start. So, whatever, I want to get home. Of all the cities in the world to get stuck in, Detroit ain't it. B, you could just feel the excitement ramping up for this thing.
Yep.
And it's just, it's been a lot of fun, man. And
has been.
I do think as we, like, in our text thread, we talked about this with Greg. There is a time and place for, man, what an awesome year this has been. This ain't it. We can do the reflection of how much fun and everything has been, but not right now, not the Thursday before the week. I am curious what you think the impact is. Washington's coming off a short week. Sunday night into Saturday, mm-hmm. everything's accelerated by a day. And Detroit's coming off the bye.
Yeah.
Like, how you were on playoff teams that got the bye. How significant is that gap in workload over
well,
the last
to be honest week? With you, there are some teams in the byes, they prospered, and some teams that didn't. There have been a lot of teams over the years that have had that bye and they lost. There have been other teams that had coaches that they revel in that. Andy Reid is one of them. Joe Gibbs is one of them. We don't necessarily know exactly what Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson is about coming off the bye. You get healthier, but also there's a chance that rust will jump on you.
Well, I'll say this. They probably needed the bye. Their bye was week 5.
Yeah.
So they've been playing football straight since October 13th.
Been a long time.
Like, Washington at least got the advantage, now you can say, of that late bye.
Yeah.
You know, like, Washington's only been playing now for 5 straight weeks. They mm-hmm. did have that break. You said something interesting there. I guess we could look up Dan Campbell's record after the bye.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like we know what Dan Campbell's about, though. I don't think much is going to change.
Dan Campbell like working.
Yeah.
You know, so let's be real. Did the bye week, did they really take it easy, or did they go for it? Because I think it was Tony Dungy, when they had gone so well, and he decided to rest his guys and blah, 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 and then boom.
That was late in the – I think it's also very different now that only one team gets a bye. You know, the old system, 2019 and before, was the top two seeds got the bye. Mm-hmm. And then you could really, like, you could lock in a bye by, like, week 15.
Yeah.
And then you really, I think guys really take their eyes off the prize at that point. Because it's like, all right, man, we're chilling for 3 weeks. But Detroit, they had to play their ass off week 18 to even get the bye.
But then again, like back then, you could rest your guys a long time. This time, you can't rest your guys a long time. And just think about it. When you work out, you go run. You miss a week or two. And then you go run again.
Right now?
How do you feel? You know?
Yeah.
And look, the same thing happened with the football teams. But, you know, I don't know. You know, if it was Andy Reid coming off a bye, I'd be like, oh, we're in trouble. Because it's been proven.
Right.
Time and time again.
I think there's a lot of reasons Washington can compete in this game. And I think anybody suggesting they can't compete is a fool. There's only two teams playing at the core.
Yeah,
right.
So you got to.
But I think of the reasons Washington has a chance in this game, I've been saying this throughout the week. I don't think it's going to be because Detroit's not ready or they come out flat or they're rusty, anything like that. I think it's going to be you got to generate some turnovers and Washington plays lights out. Like I just think the kind of fluky win ain't happening this week. And I don't think Washington's – I don't think last week was that. I think you got to just prove to be the better team Saturday night.
Yep.
I think they have the right mindset for sure. It's going to be fascinating to watch the first quarter in this thing, B. I think they got to come out and come out fast and score. What they did in Tampa, we've talked about it a bunch, but that second quarter drive where they went 90 yards in 9 minutes really, really changed that ball game. And if you go back, I mean, almost – the play, the deep shot they hit to McLaurin was just so important to kind of give them some life because it just seemed like they just weren't going to be able to get anything going. And it's just – I think the – perhaps this is just Captain Obvious, but, like, you get down early and that place is rocking, I think you got big trouble.
Yeah, that's true. And I think the you just have to figure out a way to not allow it to get away from you so soon. And I don't expect them to do that. You know, this team hasn't really been overwhelmed by noise, overwhelmed by crowd noise in other people's stadium. They seem to try to go with business as usual, handle their business. And when they get that opportunity, they've been able to take advantage of it. And defensively, if they get a chance, they got to take advantage of it.
I think to get
this team, bro, look, they can make this thing snowball real quickly.
Yeah. Detroit could score in bunches. They've got talent all over the field. I think there's real reason for concern. I don't know why outside of, like, a feeling, but I think Jameson Williams is a real problem defensively because – to me, Lattimore seems like he'll get more of St. Brown. And I don't know who – I can't remember who I was talking to last night. But I do think it's important that Joe Witt said something yesterday about Lattimore that, you know, he was still knocking the rust off and he's only going to get better. I tend to agree with that.
Yep.
I mean, dude had barely played throughout the year, and then they throw him against Mike Evans, who's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. And I also thought this, like, it was late in that game. Tampa had the field goal drive, right? They kicked a field goal around five minutes. Washington got the ball 4:40. There was a play, a first and 10, where I was talking about this in the press box. I don't know if you were still sitting there, you had gone downstairs or what. But late in that game, there was a Bucky Irving off tackle left side where it honestly looked to me he could get the first down if he just kind of went for the pylon. And it looked in my mind at the time that he decided to stay in bounds to try to keep the clock running. Mm-hmm. And then they end up getting stuffed and they have to kick. I don't know that that was the case, because who came up in run support to blow that up was Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, he's physical.
And you don't – not every corner is going to give you that. And, no. Like, so if you want to complain about what happened with Evans and all that, sure. But that fourth quarter run stop, that fourth quarter tackle, to come up strong in support on Bucky Irving, who maybe he was trying to stay in bounds, maybe he just got a little shook that 23 was coming at him with a head full of steam. Whatever it was, that play stood out, and you're going to get stuff like that from Lattimore, yeah, which helps a ton.
You don't get that from a lot of corners. A lot of corners are going to shy away from off contact. Marshawn doesn't. And let's be real. When a cornerback is 100% healthy in this league today, the receiver has the advantage. They can't do much after 5 yards. So the guy, it's a position where you're going to give up some plays. And I don't know where people, that shutdown corner thing, that left a long time ago, bro. Not too many people shut down people completely in game. That doesn't happen too much.
The best corner in the NFL now, I would say, is probably Surtain. And he's one of the few guys that, I mean, hell, even that game against Jamar Chase, remember that crazy Broncos-Bengals game? Surtain was really good on Chase, but because they had to devote so much there, T. Higgins went for 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, but see, I heard Joe mention this yesterday too. Like, when you see people sometimes thinking that that the guys are one-on-one, they're not necessarily one-on-one. You got a lot of cornerbacks in this league who are the shutdown. They got some help over the top.
Sure.
They got help inside. So when we hear that, oh, he shut him down one-on-one, no, he didn't. And many defenses, the average eye doesn't know what they're really playing. So that doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah. It's fascinating. It's going to be just an awesome matchup, and I can't wait. And I think fans should be so excited for it. I want to open the phone lines up a little later. We'll do Bleep You this afternoon, but I just want to let the fans kind of talk about the ball game. We're going to have Colton Pouncey on with us in a minute. Pretty full day. Fred Smoot's going to join us at noon. We should hear from DQ later this afternoon. Brian, specifically to Wagner, he's missed 2 days of practice now.
Mm-hmm.
What's your concern level?
I think Bobby's going to play.
Sure, I do too. But you think the ankle's an issue? I mean, to miss the second day.
I think a veteran player of his caliber, where the coaches talk about how he shows them stuff, they want him to be healthy more physically than anything. So why take the chance and misstep in practice? You know what I mean? Because he's the type of guy that doesn't have to be there every day to be able to go out and play great.
The Lions defense really started to get shredded late in the season.
Mm-hmm.
If you kind of look at their from December on, they gave up 31 in a win to Green Bay. They gave up 48 in a loss to Buffalo. 17 to the Bears, 34 to the Niners. They really started to kind of get beat up there. Then week 18, gotta have it. What had been a pretty explosive Vikings offense, they hold them to 9 points. They knock Darnold around.
Yeah, but Darnold is...
What's the bigger... Do you look at the last five where they started to get beat up, that defense, or do you look at the last one where they look pretty damn good?
Well, I'm not going to look at Darnold because he followed up the second week with a dud. Also, he doesn't throw the ball. I don't think Jaden's going to hold the ball as long as Sam Darnold did.
I agree with that.
And I think Sam Darnold was a bigger problem and made them look even better, just like he made the next team look better because he wouldn't throw the damn football. Seeing ghosts.
I think Washington at this point, I don't know who the best comp is for them of those teams they've played. Probably somewhere between – that Niners offense was cooking that night, and that was a Monday nighter in San Fran. They were able to put up 34. I mean, they gave up almost 500 yards in that game, a ton of passing. I think one thing that's going to be really interesting is I think both offenses will want to kind of slow this thing down,
mm-hmm.
and it's pretty difficult to do that when it's both offenses trying to do it.
Yeah. Listen, man, we can basically throw a lot of stuff out the window right now. I don't think they have seen a guy like Jaden. And I think we haven't seen offense like them. But our offense, if it does what it normally does, it's going to limit the amount of times they touch the football. And when you start getting a lower amount of touches, you have to game plan and change up some stuff too. So will they be able to just go and do what they normally do? Or if we get one of those long, sustained drives and 8-9 minutes come off the clock, do they just say, oh, let's just do our normal, got to put points on the board?
So if you look at Washington this year, they're top 10 in time of possession on the season, a little under 31 minutes per game, so it's a kind of a coin flip. In their last three, it's been 30 minutes, 52 seconds. And think about, in those last three games, that Cowboys game was bad. They couldn't sustain offense really until the end of the game. Last week, obviously, they went for 35 minutes. They really controlled it. They've been much better at home. They had the really good home record. 31 minutes, 26 seconds of possession at home, so they're winning that by a wider margin. I say all this to say Washington's TOP stats are good, their time of possession, and that also excludes overtime, and Washington had a few different overtime games. Unfortunately, Detroit's are better. Detroit's second in the league in time of possession, only behind Philly, at almost a full 2 minutes ahead of them. Mm-hmm. So that's in a game of inches, that's a pretty big delta. In their last three, the Lions 34 minutes average possession. Mm-hmm. Washington's last three is a little under 31. At home, they're at 31.5. And the last time we saw them against Minnesota, they had the ball for 36 minutes. Mm-hmm. As a percentage, that's probably close to 60.
But you get into a game and all of a sudden the other team has it 36 minutes, they don't.
Sure.
Or are they able to do what they do when they have it 36 minutes?
It'll be fascinating to find out. I mean, in their losses, I'm curious. So, I mean, they only have two losses on the year. In the loss to the Bills week 15, what happened here? They could have once. They were 6 of 13 on third down. They went for it three times on fourth down. They were 3 of 3 on fourth down. But, yeah, Buffalo won that 32-42 to 27-18. The other loss, I wonder, what is 6 of 13 on third down? A little, like 43% or something?
Living under 50.
In their other loss, you got to go all the way back to week 2 in Tampa or hosting Tampa. I don't know how much you can take away from a week 2 game 3 months later. But they were 7 of 17 on third down in that game. Detroit, though, won time of possession pretty handily. It was like 34 to 26. Mm-hmm. They ran the ball pretty well. That's a weird, weird loss. They turned the ball over twice. Remember, man, in these big-time games, turnovers and special teams plays are the great equalizer.
Think back to last year where he went for the fourth down all the time and he went for it too much and they lost.
San Fran?
That could happen as well.
Yeah. They were 3 of 5 on fourth down in that game, same as Dan Quinn was last Sunday night in Tampa. There's a million angles to this thing. I cannot wait to watch this football game. When we return, Colton Pouncey joins the program to give us the Lions' perspective. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Fired up to go to, let me get this right, the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. That's R-U-U-D. Going to the Rude guest hotline to welcome in Colton Pouncey to the program. Colton covers the Lions for The Athletic. You can follow him at Colton_Pouncey, Colton_Pouncy. Colt, what up, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
We are doing well. I got to tell you, folks here are really fired up for this matchup. There's a very obvious understanding that Detroit is loaded and really good and well-coached. But I think Washington's coming out there to play, too. What's the feeling around the Lions?
Yeah, you know, I think they're ready to get going. This team is rested after having the bye week. You know, I think they really needed it, probably more so than – you know, some of the other teams in the mix for the one seed late in the season just because of how injured they were. Just have an extra week to kind of heal up, I think, kind of did them a lot of good over there. So I think they're feeling rested and ready to go. But they're not taking this Commanders team lightly. I mean, they know Jaden Daniels is a problem. They know that they're going to come out and, you know, just play hard and try to get a win and steal one from a Detroit team that feels like can go to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, definitely not overlooking anyone over here.
Defensively, they've lost a lot of players but still been able to play at a high level. Do you think that they're completely back as far as they could be, missing all the guys they did?
Yeah, you know, some of their key players, if they are going to return, it might not be until the Super Bowl. You're talking like Aiden Hutchinson, mm-hmm. Linebacker Derek Barnes, maybe cornerback Carlton Davis. But even then, it seems like that would be a long shot. So the group they have now just might be the group that they roll with if they, you know, keep running in this postseason like this right now. But yeah, I mean, the group they have, like getting Alex Anzalone back in the Week 18 finale against the Vikings was huge. He's a team captain, starting linebacker. And really when their defense was struggling with so many guys out, he was the one piece I think they missed the most just because he's the guy that kind of keeps everyone calm in the middle of the field. And, you know, they're trotting out practice squad guys and guys they signed off the street. And there's a lot of chaos in the middle of the field. So I think having Anzalone back to kind of settle things down in the middle really helped them. I think that's why we saw them hold the Vikings to 9 points in that final game of the season. So I think just having him back in the mix, I think is going to help them. But they still are missing some key players, obviously. So not the defense they started the year with, for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking to some Commanders players in the locker room this week about getting Anzalone back. And they're like, yeah, we got to be very, very cognizant of him. And so specific to the week, so the last time we saw them was week 18 against the Vikings, and the Lions just looked dominant. And it was the first, maybe not the first, but it was a real eye opener of, yo, this might be the same Sam Darnold after all, right? What do you look at? The last five games of the season, the Lions defense was getting shredded. You get Anzalone back week 18, they're really good against Minnesota. Are you looking at the totality of the December-January games, or do you think the reality is closer to what we saw against the Vikings?
You know, I'm still trying to gauge that myself because I think obviously getting Anzalone back helps, but I think the game plan against Minnesota was just so good, which is we're just going to bring everything we have at Sam Darnold. We're going to show him different looks with our coverage and kind of had him seeing Gust out there. So, and honestly, Darnold just missed a lot of wide-open throws. Like, it wasn't all just, like, him rattled. I think, you know, there were just some plays that were there to be made. He just didn't make them. A lot of off-target throws. So, as much as I credit defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn for kind of doing a good job with that game plan, and obviously having Anzalone back helps, I think the Vikings kind of missed some plays that were there. So I'm still wondering myself, you know, what type of Lions defense we'll get going forward. I do think it'll be maybe closer to what we saw, but I'm not expecting them to only hold the Commanders to 9 points. So maybe somewhere in the middle of what they were giving up, you know, in the 30-point range when all these guys were out versus the 9-point game that we saw against the Vikings, maybe somewhere in the middle.
I'm sure fans in Detroit don't think there's a chance in hell that Washington can win, but when you hear from the players and the coaches, what are their thoughts?
Oh, I mean, they respect that Commanders team so much. I mean, you talk about Campbell has a lot of respect for Dan Quinn. You know, when Quinn was with the Falcons, Campbell was with the Saints, so those two, you know, faced off as coaching staffs quite a bit. You know, Campbell has a lot of respect for Jaden Daniels, it seems. Just talked about how dangerous he is as a passer, as a runner, and just having to be under cues when you play a guy like that. And also Terry McLaurin, I mean, he's obviously a dangerous threat. The Lions are, you know, missing their top cornerback, Carlton Davis. So they've got a rookie on one side and Amik Robertson, who was their starting nickel, kind of moved out to the outside on the other side. So they're going to have their hands full, and they're definitely not, you know, taking that team lightly. And also, I would say there's something dangerous about a team that I don't want to say playing with house money, but, you know, they've exceeded expectations. And, you know, honestly, if they lose this weekend, like, it's still a great season. So I imagine there's something dangerous about a team that kind of feels like it's already, you know, beat all preseason expectations and now just playing freely. So definitely something to worry about for sure.
For sure. Talking with Colton Pouncey, Lions reporter for The Athletic here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Colton, obviously they got to respect Jaden. Terry can make plays. But the Lions offense is probably the most explosive weapon in this game, the most explosive unit in this game. What's the health on that side of the ball, particularly on that offensive line that's been really good?
Yeah, you know, I would say they're pretty healthy. You know, their right guard, Kevin Zeitler, has missed some time. He got hurt in the Week 18 finale against the Vikings. So we're still not quite sure if he's going to be ready to go. He's missed the last 2 days of practice. I think today will be a big note to see if he can end up playing on Saturday. But if not, you know, they've got some guys ready to go. I imagine they would probably turn to rookie guard Chris Mahogany or maybe a veteran backup, K.O.D. Iwosika. So they've got some guys ready to go. I would say offensively, though, getting David Montgomery back is probably the biggest thing that we learned just coming out of the bye week because, you know, he, I believe, hurt his MCL against the Bills in Week 15.
That is crazy.
Campbell made it seem like he was going to miss the rest of the season. He was going to get surgery. And all of a sudden, we don't see him go on IR. They're talking about getting a second and a third opinion. Got some good feedback back. And Montgomery made the decision, like, I'm just going to rest and try to rehab it and see if I can make a push to return. And the fact that he's back right now, I think some of us thought, okay, maybe Super Bowl if they get that far. But the fact that he's here for their first playoff game is truly remarkable. That's going to be such an emotional boost to the guys when they see him line up out there on Saturday. So, yeah, I can't really understate his return.
28 touchdowns, over 2,000, almost 200 yards rushing by David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. But Gibbs has been electrifying. Do they try to force David back in, or do they just easily bring him in? And because Gibbs is on fire.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a luxury having a guy like Gibbs because you don't really have to force Montgomery back if you don't think that he can handle like a regular workload because Gibbs has been playing so well. And, I mean, you know, they drafted him 12th overall for a reason. I think they always felt that he could handle the workload if they needed him to, but I think having the two-back system kind of prolongs both of their careers. I think that's kind of the idea when they got both of them. But Gibbs has been special the last, you know, three games without Montgomery.
Yes.
So maybe, you know, they still give Gibbs the majority of the workload and maybe let Montgomery handle more of the goal line work or short yardage situations. But Montgomery told us he's ready to go. So if he is, I imagine he'll still get a good amount of touches in a game like that while Gibbs takes the lead.
Jared Goff has been dynamic. He's been really, really good. I think the conversation around Jared Goff has changed so dramatically. And I think if you want to say that Goff's like a system quarterback at this point, you're nuts. I just think he's a good quarterback. But he did have that terrible Houston game, 5 picks. The rest of the season, yeah, he had 7 picks in over 16 games. What did Houston do, and how can Washington do it?
Yeah, you know, that was such a weird game. It feels like a blur still having 5 interceptions. One of those came on a Hail Mary. I think 2 of those were kind of miscommunication between Goff and the receiver. So I'll put maybe 3 of those on him. And obviously that's still not a good game, but a little bit more manageable than 5. But, you know, I don't know. I think it was just an off day for them. You know, the targets really weren't on target and some off-field throws there, I guess. But, you know, I don't really know what Houston did to kind of rattle him, if you want to say that. I guess they were playing without Taylor Decker, so there's some more pressure allowed, and maybe Goff was trying to force things and trying to do too much in a game like that. That is when he gets in trouble, when he tries to play some hero ball instead of just letting the offense, you know, come to him, so to speak. But he really turned around the second half and kind of led them to that comeback. So, yeah, I guess it's about maybe getting some pressure in the interior. That worked for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Week 2 when the Lions lost. If you can get some interior pressure, I think you can maybe rattle him a little bit. But he's been pretty unflappable for the majority of the season. And I think the narrative that he can't handle pressure is probably one that's been fading away when it was there early in his career.
I tend to agree with you, man. This game has the highest total of the weekend. It's the highest playoff total since, I think, 2018 Chiefs Patriots. Do you think there's any path here that it actually both offenses kind of try to slow this thing down? And for Washington, the best way to slow down Detroit is to limit their offensive possessions, and I kind of feel like Detroit feels the same way.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I imagine Detroit's going to try to run the ball early and often just because, you know, they probably see the 30th ranked, you know, run defense and think they can take advantage of it. On that side, and that's maybe an area where they could have some success. and you talk about the Commanders, I think you're totally right in terms of limiting offense possessions and trying to limit those scoring chances for Detroit. The way you do that is to keep the ball on the ground, keep the clock moving. The Commanders have done a really good job of that of late. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of maybe the over-under, like maybe take the under if that's the game plan, I could totally see it playing out that way. I would not be surprised if both teams try to control the clock. And if that happens, I actually think it might end up being a pretty close game in the fourth quarter, and that's not a situation you want to get into if you're the Lions against the Commanders team that tends to pull those out late. So, you know, we'll see, but I could totally see a game script like that happening.
And then, Colton, what is I think that's the ideal scenario for Washington, right? Yeah. I'm guessing the ideal scenario for Detroit is get up early, let the crowd go nuts. What are you expecting that building to be like Saturday night?
Yeah, you know, I was able to cover the Lions playoff run last year, and my goodness, it was deafening in there. And you kind of knew that they had that potential. They just hadn't had the playoff opportunity to kind of show it because the team's been so bad. But, you know, having Campbell and this crew in here, it's really revitalized the city. You know, this is really a Lions town, and you can tell every time you step foot outside. So they're going to be rocking. Ford Field's going to be, you know, a tough place to play. They do a light show, I think, usually in the third quarter where they turn the lights off and have these, like, glow-up wristbands. They play We Will Rock You. So they do a lot of cool things to kind of get the crowd involved. So I imagine it'll be a tough place for a rookie quarterback to play, but at the same time, Jaden Daniels is not playing like a rookie, and Dan Campbell said that himself. So I think he'll be ready for the moment. It's just a matter of, you know, who gets it done in the end.
It's gonna be
rocking.
Yeah, man. I mean, just that Lions offense is so explosive. You think Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn are gone after this year?
I do. I think it's trending that way. I think Glenn could have his pick of a few different jobs, and you know, it seems like Ben Johnson, based on some reports out there, is you know, kind of enamored with the Raiders job, which is something I didn't see coming. But I think the Brady effect is real. I think we're kind of learning that this cycle. And in terms of for Glenn, I think, you know, going back to New Orleans where he was, you know, secondary coach for a long time and played there, that could be a good fit. Maybe the Jets, you know, he worked in their front office for a little bit. Or maybe even the Jaguars job. I think that's a sneaky good job, you know, kind of a weak division over there and some talent on the roster. So I think Glenn will have his pick, and it seems like, you know, Ben's kind of looking at that Raiders job from what I've heard.
As somebody who's in the building every day with them and at the pressers, and I'm sure you have a relationship with both, who do you think's the better head coach?
Ooh, that's a good question. Honestly, I think I would go Aaron Glenn, because if you're looking for a coach who's kind of cut from the same cloth as Dan Campbell, to me, that's Glenn. Those are both two Texas guys, two Texas A&M guys. They've came up under Bill Parcells and coached under him, played for him, things like that. So I think they're both wired the same way in terms of what we need to do to build a roster, you know, build a culture, build a foundation. And even if we don't win early, we're going to stick to our process and we're going to have the buy-in from the players. And that's not to say, you know, Ben Johnson can't be a successful coach, but from what I've covered for 3 years now, I've seen it work here in Detroit. I think Aaron Glenn is the guy that can kind of do that elsewhere, kind of the same way Dan Campbell did it. So, you know, that's kind of where I would go with it.
Going to be fascinating to watch. Kind of feels a little like the last run for this Lions group that they've assembled at least this year. Hey, Colton, thanks so much. Look forward to seeing you Saturday.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Colton Pouncey from The Athletic. Really, really smart. Give him a follow at Colton_Pouncey. As we gear up for this matchup against the Lions, it's just there's so many angles, so much to try to figure out in advance. And I think for a lot of people, when they get in the car buying process, they feel that way too. It's almost overwhelming. Well, it's not overwhelming when you go to Orsman Automotive of Virginia. They've got 7 locations all over Northern Virginia, from Alexandria to Chantilly, all the makes and models you want, and they've got the best interest rates. They can work with you no matter what the situation is. They got all sorts of ways to get the new car you need to you. And Brian, I know you love that Orsman Lifetime Edge.
I love the Lifetime Edge because they give you up to $1,500 in extras, including a complimentary car wash with every scheduled maintenance. They give you loaner cars with every major maintenance, and they have that lifetime engine guarantee. And there's more good news. If you have a car to sell, take it to Orsman because they will pay you up to 125% of the Kelley Blue Book value, regardless of its make, model, or year. It's simple at Orsman. They like to keep their customers happy, just like they kept JP and I happy, to beyond satisfied Orsman customers. So let's ride together.
Alabama, Arkansas. All right. B-Midge Bentley, 106.7 The Fan. Here's what we're going to do. I haven't checked in on the stream. I'm going to check in on the stream real quick. It's probably Strizzy. It's always Strizzy. It was not Strizzy. Shout out to T-Dub. T-Dub checking in first. Says, morning, fam.
What time?
10:01 a.m.
Strizzy was at 10:01 as well.
Yeah, but it's who's first in the thing.
I saw Strizzy's name first when I checked in, because I checked in. You last. And he said, I ain't cheating.
I mean, I believe you. Brian Pico says, what up, JP? What up? All right, a lot of things to kind of run through here. I want to have a conversation about how to try to cover Detroit, because it's pretty difficult. But we just got this Bill Belichick story is kind of breaking that he hasn't signed his contract.
With North Carolina?
Yeah.
But he's been doing all the work and stuff. What?
Right. And I think, I mean, you and I.
So if he hasn't signed his contract, he's been working. What if North Carolina said, well, you didn't sign a contract, we don't have to pay you?
Or what if he doesn't have to pay that buyout if he goes and takes an NFL job? I don't know. It's odd. Now, what I can say, I don't know if you've ever had to do this, but in our world, in the media world, we work on contracts, and sometimes you don't cross the finish line
until later.
Yeah, like say your contract expires February 1st, and you're working on it, and then there's like a snowstorm, and the lawyers still have to go through everything. Like you keep working, and even if it gets done like February 9th, you know?
Yeah.
But. And that's not uncommon at all.
So that's happened a lot.
Right. I don't know how uncommon this Belichick thing is.
This hasn't been a few days, though.
Yeah.
Been a few days.
Like, they've had a press conference. He's hired people.
Yes.
They're probably handing out money in the transfer portal.
If he's out here BSing, he's messing over some friends now. Because what if he decides to go, don't take some of those guys to the league with him, and somebody else gets the job and says, I don't want none of you bums.
Yeah, dude, it's odd.
It's Bill Belichick, dog.
Everything is on his own weird terms, it seems.
Yeah, so it's all good.
Hold on, I want to drop. I just saw this. I hadn't seen this. I'm dropping this in the group text. Hopefully, I sent the right thing. Yeah, I did. Sports Grumpy, who's JP Finley's ears on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's clearly a Photoshop. But it looks like
David in the Lion's Den. Daniel in the Lion's Den.
Well, it shows what I know. I looked at that and it was like Gladiator kind of. No, whatever it is.
It's more of a biblical thing where Daniel went into the Lion's Den. This is what it's about.
Well, especially because they're playing the Lions.
And it's Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Daniel went in the Lion's Den or David?
David was with Goliath, though.
Who was Jericho? Joshua?
Y2J,
somebody fought
baby.
The Battle of Jericho. Who was it?
What did you say?
Y2J, Chris Jericho.
Good morning, Landfill. We haven't heard from you. How are you, buddy?
I'm Landfill, money,
you
baby.
You brought wrestling into this football conversation.
You guys are the ones that brought up Chris Jericho.
We said, who is Jericho, not
yeah, somebody Jericho. Fought the Battle of Jericho.
Save us, Y2J. He fought battles every Thursday.
Maybe Jeff. Jeff's very religious. Jeff, who fought the Battle of Jericho?
It was Joshua.
Now,
you know, I don't know
rock,
if you're right, but you said it angle. So factually, I'm taking
you
I'm
mentioned
down
Joshua earlier.
I feel like there see, was a song. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Yeah, there we can see. J-Dogs forever. Jeff, Joshua, Jericho, JP. Bang. Good morning, White Brian. How do you do?
Good morning.
Okay, great. I mean, that's riveting content right
well,
there,
that,
White Brian.
Brian, we got it. We're going to eject
somebody
you.
Get him a
coffee.
We're
going to eject you with some
something.
Damn Red Bull, dog. You want right. Valiums or something, dog?
Here's what I would like to do. Phone lines are open. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. It's a simple question. How do the Commanders beat the Lions? Tell me how. Give me your plan. Give me your structure. I want to talk zone defense versus playing man. Detroit's really good against man. I want to talk about fourth downs are going to be vital in this thing. You got two head coaches named Dan with goatees that like to go for it on fourth down. It's going to be happening, folks. Phone lines are open now, 800-636-1067.